Welcome, everyone, to Spark My Muse. This is Lisa DeLay, and today is Soul School Lesson 86. I'm really happy that you would join me today, and as things near Christmas time, it's November now, I think you should do more than just hint around to your family and friends that you want a Spark My Muse t-shirt. Just tell them outright, or write a note, big letters and marker, go to the Spark My Muse store and get me a dang t-shirt or hat. Don't hint around. It just doesn't work. So I hope you haven't missed out on what's happening at the Spark My Muse store at sparkmymuse.com. There are hats, there are socks, there are t-shirts, and a few other things. There are mugs, I guess, too. And I hope you'll check it out. I just got my t-shirt myself. I ordered my own t-shirt, and it's really nice. The material is very soft, and I ordered dark heather. I think it's called dark gray heather. It's really nice material. I ordered a unisex, and it looks nice. I really like how it fits, and I think you will really enjoy the products that you find there. Today, I'm going to be talking about degrees of personhood, how we experience and how we use these degrees of personhood with each other, with other people that we encounter. One of the things that got me thinking about this is the course I'm teaching now on understanding and integrating the interior lives of children, to teaching it to Masters of Education students at Gratz College. One of the key parts of this course is called Listening Others into Being, and it has a lot to do with Parker J. Palmer's work. He's someone I've read a lot of and really admire and really appreciate his contributions to listening, to education, and to understanding how to integrate the whole person into education, but into life itself. How do we fully integrate our lives and connect with other people in ways that make us more fully alive and help us to live sustainable lives that can avoid burnout and that can help each other through rough times where we don't have to wear masks and we can live honestly and openly with each other in supportive communities. This unit on listening isn't just hearing someone and being able to tell you what they said. It's actually about this connection between people, the thing that happens between people. And so what I wanted to do today was just give a little piece of this to you. One of the references I'm going to include in the show notes, it's part of a journal called Educational Theory. It's titled Listening as Embracing the Other, Martin Buber's Philosophy of Dialogue. And it's by Mordecai Gordon from the School of Education, and the spelling is a little crazy. This university is spelled Q-U-I-N-N-I-P-I-A-C. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. So as we talk about the degrees of knowing people, I will bring up a little story that will hopefully ensconce this well in your mind as you remember these three different levels that we're talking about. And I bring it up to you because it illustrates a point of the least degree of personhood. And I say personhood, that's my own injection into this theory, and this is my own add-on. This article doesn't talk about personhood, but it does talk about three instances that I'll get into in a little bit. So when I was a young teenager, my mom had a friend, and her name was Beverly. That's not actually her name, but her name is Beverly in this illustration. And I knew this woman through my mother, and one day I came to find out that Beverly was involved in an extremely serious car accident. She went through the windshield of her car. This was in the 80s. I don't think anybody was wearing seatbelts. And her husband died. And her face was completely ruined. She lost an eye, and her nose was just completely torn away from her face, and she had to have total reconstructive surgery. Now, plastic surgery was then not what it is today. And she had to have all sorts of reconstruction on her face. And I remember this woman, Beverly, as having an unusual face, and it had a pieced together look to it. And her nose looked very red and had veins in it. And it reminded me of a strawberry. Beverly with the strawberry nose is how I'm going to have you remember this concept that I'm teaching you now. The first degree of personhood is I-it. And the way I related to Beverly and the way you are relating to Beverly right now is I-it. You don't know Beverly. You've never met her. You might think it's very tragic that she had this terrible car accident and that she had to have surgery and that her life turned out this way, but you don't really know her. And to you, Beverly is an it. There's no connection. You've never spoken. And there's no communion between the two of you. There's no you and her getting along, talking, connecting, and no dynamic there. To you, Beverly doesn't really have a personhood. She's an it. And this is really how we relate to many people we are not empathetic with or connected to. And we just see them as its. Now, this is something that's normal in how we relate in human relationships, but it's where all of the worst things happen that we do to each other. It's when people don't have personhoods, where they are reduced from human to it, to objects. That's where we run amok in all sorts of things. That's why abuses happen. When one person thinks of another person as an it, you can get things like sexual harassment. You can get things like slavery, bullying, abuses, even just unkindness and rudeness to people who you don't think of as having feelings like yourself or having a family or thoughts and emotions that later on this person will play over in their mind what happened to them, something that you've done to them or something that they've experienced. To you, this person is somewhat conceptual or something imaginary or something that is just objectified. And that's the first degree of personhood. In this case, Beverly, someone with a strawberry nose, a strange little story that you are not that connected with, but it might be somewhat memorable. However, it's not going to impact your life, or you're not going to really feel connected with Beverly in any sort of way. The second degree of personhood, as I would call it, is called the IU. And this doesn't necessarily refer to a reciprocal relationship, but it can mean there's a closer connection. There's me and then there's you. I see you as another person and I may treat you well. I may have empathy toward you, but I might not necessarily have empathy towards you. Sometimes I might. You are a you and I am a me. And I might disseminate information. There could be mutuality. Perhaps there isn't. You might think of a lecture this way. There's the lecturer, then there's the audience. There's two entities there. Sometimes they connect. Sometimes they connect well. And there's somewhat of an acknowledgement of personhood, but the connection is only strong once in a while, and it's not what the relationship is centered on. It's really centered on the fact that there are two distinct separate persons, I and you. It belongs to a different realm in relation or in dialogue. The personhood has evolved a bit because that person is not an it or an object. And you can understand that this you is like yourself, a peer perhaps, or another human. Unlike the object it, you might not really at some level think of the it as human, as the same. And this really is where objectification, for instance, of women or of children or of any minority group, this is where all the abuses happen, because no one has been upgraded from the I-it to even the I-you, let alone the next degree of personhood that I'll tell you about right now. And I'll tell you about this, and this is a little bit painful when you realize, especially when I realize as a woman, that many times in my life, I have been objectified. And I think that a lot of women can understand that you've been objectified for just being female. You've been objectified maybe for your looks or what you could offer someone or how they could take advantage of you or something like that. And you've been objectified enough that you thought it was normal. And you've never in certain circles been treated as an IU, or occasionally you have been, and it's felt nice compared to being treated as an I-it. But being an I-thou, which is the third degree, maybe has never happened. And although the Freud theories are sometimes very much out of vogue, Freud insisted that women had penis envy. And this is, you know, somewhat outdated. Not a lot of people really promote this as much these days. But I think that not a lot of women I know have ever had penis envy. I certainly never have. But I know most women have had personhood envy, realizing that males are treated as at least IUs in situations or I-thous. But sometimes we have never been able to have gotten out of the I-it category and never had personhood instances. While it might seem like we're envious of something that men have, it wouldn't be a body part. It would be personhood, though. That would be very enviable. We would want to be treated as human beings. And understandably, of course, we would want to be treated as human beings. And I think that's hard for someone to realize who's never really been objectified as a normal course of living. If you've been treated as a you instead of an it, most of the time in your life, you might not really understand what an upgrade it is to be treated as a you, as a fellow human or as a fellow person with personhood and agency and thoughts and feelings. But if you're in the minority, a minority group of some kind, you are often objectified. This is just something to bear in mind. Now, my favorite part, of course, is the I-thou. And I-thou is this very special ground. It's the ground that happens in a mutually reciprocal and beneficial relationship. It's a beautiful thing, and it revolves around the fact that there is something else going on between two people. The separation begins to dissolve. And what you have actually, the epitome of the relationship is the thing that happens between, the in-between thing, which is the connection and the mutuality. You might think of it too as an apprentice, a really beautiful apprentice and master relationship, a master craftsman, this age-old setup where in a good master-apprentice relationship, the master gets help with his or her work and maybe learn some new things from the youth, has the vitality of the youth there to maybe inspire him or her to do new techniques or to see things in a new way, also gets free help. The apprentice learns from the master and has all this time, maybe 10 years, to pick up all of the secrets, all of the techniques, all of the many years of wisdom in the craft. And then one day, the apprentice sets out on his or her own and opens their own place. And then they become their own masters in time. And then they take on their own apprenticeships. What's so I-thou about the relationship is that both are seen as contributors. In a good relationship, anyhow, of course, this can be an abused thing where it turns into an I-it relationship and gets unhealthy, is that full personhood is a part and parcel of the relationship itself. Now, an I-thou relationship is also a beautiful thing to see in teachers who value their students. Maybe you've had this in your experience as well, where you've had a teacher who treats students with a great deal of respect, really enjoys their presence, really enjoys their input, has a lot of faith and trust and belief in the students and that they will do great things, and really is authentic and reachable as they teach. They are excited very much for the students to be curious and experience the subject matter and really go out on their own, and they love hearing what they come up with. And there's something very accessible and communicative and connective between the teacher and the student. as if this teacher is like, you're a person too. You're just as much of a person as I am. And the student responds in kind, thinking, oh, this isn't just some IU type of connection where you're over there and I'm over here just trying to sponge this up for the next test. But there's something dynamic happening between the two of us. And I appreciate what you're doing. And I would like to please you and show you what I can do. And I want to show you some new things that I can try on my own, inspired by what you've taught me and how you're respecting me. I respect you back. And there's a something alive that's happening in the I-thou. Those are the most fruitful, most life-giving relationships. And it doesn't just have to happen teacher-student. Of course, this can happen in friendships or any place that there is a relationship where both people are seeing each other as full persons and fully on an equal playing field. And even when the playing field is obviously different, for instance, perhaps a person helping someone with special needs, but it is in the way that the I-thou happens. It's in the respect. It's not just the respect that happens toward the person, but the understanding of mutuality and that the give and take in that relationship. What's interesting to note about these different levels of personhood are a lot of times they're unconscious and we don't think that we're treating people as an it, but a lot of times we are because we see ourselves as separate and we see other people or other groups as those folks over there. They're not connected to me. They're those folks. And then sometimes people we are more connected to, they're maybe our in-group or they're one of us and we might see them as IU. And only maybe our closest, dearest friends are the ones we consider I-thou, or maybe our spouse, or just our dearest, closest family and friends. Those are our I-thou people. But I wonder if we could challenge that. I wonder if we could see where we mess up that way, where we are literally objectifying people, thinking of them as its, instead of thinking of people as its from the start, that we realize that what we're doing, we're dehumanizing, depersonalizing, taking the person out of another human in our approach, in dialogue and in relationship and in that dynamic of relationship. Whether it's even someone you're watching on TV and you think their opinion is worthless, you have reduced them to an it. And that is a really interesting thing to think that we are a lot of times going around unhumaning people, unpersoning them. I was struck by this article because the kind of life I want to have, and I think the kind of life that a lot of us want to have who are thoughtful and want to make ourselves improved and better in the world, to better serve the world, we don't want to go around objectifying people, hopefully. But here we are with these degrees of personhood. And it strikes me as a funny default setting that we will do this. But once we notice it, perhaps we can challenge it in our lives and challenge it in other people and say, I wonder if which degree of personhood this person has gotten as you've been speaking about them or as you've been interacting with them. And sometimes the people we are trying to serve get downgraded in degrees of personhood to its, you know, maybe a coworker that we don't like, or maybe a family member we don't like. We will unhuman them because the connection is so distant at this point. Or we've found that doing that gives us more of a sense of superiority or an excuse to be ugly to them or to think poorly of them. So as I went over this article and some of the material for my class, I thought it would be great to just share a bit of that with you. And I thought that the idea of Beverly with the strawberry nose would be a way to say to you that Beverly is just an it to you because you don't know Beverly. And her nose was a strawberry because she was just an it to me too. Even though she was a person who has suffered, I wasn't that connected with her, and I wasn't really connected with her story, and she was an it to me. And had I known her better, and had I been close with her, and had we grown in connection with each other, she would have been an I thou for me, a person with a lot of wisdom to share. And I usually give out homework, as some of you realize who've listened to this before. And the homework is simply to realize when you have that first degree of personhood for someone and they have become an it to you, an object. Of course, this will be more people than you'll probably realize. It's surprising how many times people are only its in personhood for us. When you look around and you realize how many people are reduced to its in people's conversations, you'll be surprised how most of the time we are talking about other people as if they are objects or its, and they're not humans with personhoods. Just like you wouldn't want to be thought of as someone without personhood, without agency or thoughts or feelings, or any of the things that makes you uniquely you. Of course, that has to be extended to anyone else. And of course, it's one of those things that we know as common sense, but the refresher is super important. So I hope you'll take that and just sit with that for a little bit today and turn it over in your mind a bit. And I would love to hear what you think about it. If you've thought of personhood that way, or if that makes sense to you, or if you have another idea that you'd like to share, I'm open to your comments or questions or suggestions. You can reach out to me at contact@sparkmymuse.com if you'd like to email me, or go to patreon.com/sparkmymuse. There will be reflection questions there. There'll be show notes. The link to this article that got me started on this with Martin Buber's Philosophy of Dialogue, which is, it's a very interesting read, and you'll see that journal article. If you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at Lisa DeLay, and Spark My Muse has its own Twitter with all kinds of announcements, at Spark My Muse. And if you happen to be in the area, in Myerstown, Pennsylvania, I will be speaking at the symposium November 15th for a day-long event. I'll be speaking, I'm not sure what times yet, but it's a day-long event, and you can check into that at evangelical.edu. I'd love to see you there, and if you can come hear me speak, and there's going to be a lot of other speakers there doing TED-style talks, it will be a really great day. I'd love to see you come out and enjoy that. I will also be selling some of my books. So take care until next Wednesday. Thank you for listening.